Good morning.
Good morning.
It's so good to be here. I'm actually very familiar with this building. A different environment, though. I grew up playing Upward basketball here. Before it was Elevate, it was Upward. The gym floor was red, and now it looks a lot better. And in my work with the Fellowship of Christian Athletes as an area representative in Howard County, we've actually done a lot of things partnered with Elevate. We ran a camp here. I see Michael Dransfield in his Elevate shirt right there. We partnered. We ran a camp here over the summer. We did some things to help Elevate with their devotional material over the past couple seasons. So it's really good to be back here, to be working with an organization that fueled my love for Jesus and my love for sports, and it now comes full circle. I get to preach here and work with the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, so glad to be here. The passage today is from Exodus chapter 12, and verses 21 through 28 is the institution of the Passover. I will read our scriptures, and then we'll pray together. Then Moses called all the elders of Israel and said to them, "Go and select lambs for yourself according to your clans and kill the Passover lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and touch the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. None of you shall go out of the door of his house until the morning, for the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to enter your houses to strike you. You shall observe this rite as a statute for you and for your sons forever. And when you come to the land that the Lord will give you, as he has promised, you shall keep this service. And when your children say to you, 'What do you mean by this service?' you shall say, 'It is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover.' For he passed over the houses of the people of Israel in Egypt when he struck the Egyptians, but spared our houses. And the people bowed their heads and worshipped. Then the people of Israel went and did so. As the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so they did." This is the word of the Lord. Pray with me. Lord God, I just ask that you would use me this morning at Columbia Pres to just tell the congregation about your faithfulness, about your goodness, and about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let us remember how you've been faithful to us in our lives over the past year, and let that inspire us and fuel us as we walk in our salvation that is in Christ Jesus. Pray all this in his name. Amen. All right, so we're in January, a couple weeks in. Maybe some of you are still holding on to your New Year's resolution strong, maybe. Maybe a couple of you are already lost it, but that's okay. There's grace for that. Jesus died for that. So I want to preach today to encourage us to use this new year, this month of January, to look back on 2022 and see God's faithfulness in your life. Where has he been faithful? Where has Jesus shown up for you? And store that up, treasure that up in our hearts to fuel us on into the new year. This passage works really well for that, as the Passover celebration was celebrated in the first month of the Hebrew New Year. The 14th day they started the Passover celebration. So if we line up our calendar with the Hebrew calendar, we're actually right on track with Passover. And so from this passage, I want to point out the three places that we can look and find God's faithfulness in our lives. First, we find God's faithfulness when he shows up in our lives. We also find God's faithfulness as he ministers to us through his word. And finally, we find the full summation of God's faithfulness in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So this passage, the institution of the Passover, it celebrates God's final plague on the Egyptians that freed the Israelites. God sent his angel of death throughout the land. He would kill every firstborn son, human or animal. And God instructed the Hebrews to kill this spotless lamb, to put the blood on their doorposts, and that if when the angel passed through and saw the blood on the doorpost, he would not kill the members of that household. But if you didn't have the blood on your doorpost, you would be subject to God's wrath. And then they instituted this as a yearly holiday, right? The first holiday, yearly holiday that God institutes with the people of Israel is to celebrate the Feast of Unleavened Bread, bread with no yeast. They would eat the bread and they would eat this lamb that was signified that that's what saved them from the angel of death in Egypt. And it's very important that God says, when your kids ask you about this, you're going to tell them what happened, how God saved you, how God's power and love for his people was demonstrated in this victory over Egypt. So God really showed up at Passover. The people living in this story, the Israelites here, they did not have to look very far to find God's faithfulness in their lives. They saw the 10 plagues and they walked through the Red Sea and they were saved from Egypt. And I know that God has shown up in your life as well. I meet regularly with a number of high school students, and one guy I got coffee with was telling me about Reality Factor, which is his church's, you know, fall retreat, similar to some Young Life retreats. And he just talked about how close he felt with God, how the messages that he heard were ministering to him, the people around him were so friendly, he got to sing all this worship music, and the presence and power of God was just so clear to him at those days. And he talked about how, I just wish I could go on Reality Factor every weekend so that I would still feel close to God every single day. But he does have to go back and just go through a bunch of normal school days. And those days he doesn't feel as close to God. And I relate to that. I grew up in the church, going to these retreats and just feeling so close to God, and then going back through normal life and the mundane things of life or the hard things of life. And that's how our life goes, kind of a roller coaster. But we have to hold on to those big moments, those mountaintop moments, so that in the hard times we still trust that God is with us, because he showed up there and he's just as close as he was in those moments that he is in the mundane moments. It's just whether or not we remember to see it. So think of those mountaintop moments for yourself over the past year. All right. Yeah. So that when you hit the mundane moments, you have these moments to look back on. Maybe you were one of the passengers on the 15,000 plus Southwest flights that got canceled over the holidays, and your Christmas plans were just completely shot. I was one of those. And to be able to look to God and say, I know that you're still here. I know that you're still good and you can work in this situation, even though I don't feel like it. I'm saying all these good church words, but I really believe them, Lord. And my heart prayer is that you remind me more and more of your faithfulness. So God shows up in our lives and in big moments, but then also he's given us a daily He's given us his faithfulness daily through his word. Word of God, we all have it right here. It's a daily source of his faithfulness in our lives. And he can be faithful to us through his word in a couple different ways. It's a record of God's faithfulness. And it's also a mechanism of God's faithfulness. So Moses, when he's leading the people through Exodus, he does not have the Bible. He hasn't written it yet. But he still has the record of God's faithfulness. When God appeared to Moses to first call him to lead the Israelites out of slavery, he appeared in the burning bush and he said, I'm the God of your forefathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so Moses would have known God's promises to Abraham for the promised land. His generations would be as many as the stars in the sky. He would have known about Sodom and Gomorrah. He would have known about Isaac, how Isaac was rescued from being sacrificed by given the goat or lamb caught in the thicket. And he would have known about Jacob wrestling with God, about being renamed, about Jacob seeing the stairway to heaven. He would have had God's record ahead of time. And so when he meets with God, he believes that God can do what he promises because he already has a record of God's faithfulness. And we have so much more than what Moses had. We have the full revelation of God in the scriptures. So we get past Moses, and then we can see Joshua, we see the judges, we see King David, we see all the prophets, we see Nehemiah rebuilding the temple in Jerusalem, we get the Gospels, the coming, the life, death, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus, then we get the Acts of the Apostles, the foundation and of the early church. We have all of these historical narratives, all these stories of God's faithfulness. And God is faithful to his people in the scriptures, and we count ourselves as God's people. And so we know that he's going to be faithful with us as well. So we can say, God, you forgave David in his adultery and murder. You can forgive my worst sins. We can see you were with Jeremiah. You kept him safe as the city of Jerusalem crumbled around him. You're going to be with me in times of family loss or suffering, right? And as we believe God's record of his faithfulness, we're also moved by the scriptures to live out and live in God's faithfulness. He instructs us how to live in his word. And that's what I mean by the mechanism of his faithfulness. In verse 28, the very end of this passage, we see that the people of Israel went out and did so. As the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so they did. So God gives them, has already given them reasons to believe in him, but then he tells them what to do. And as they obey God's commands in his word, they are led into salvation. They're led through the Red Sea, and they're led to the promised land. So God delivered them to salvation. And I teach a freshman Bible class at Chapelgate Academy. And one of the Bible verses that they have to memorize is 2 Timothy 3, chapter 16, 17, which says, all scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, correcting, rebuking, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. God equips us. He gives us a mechanism of his faithfulness. He teaches us in his word. My Aunt Beth, from my wife's side, recently wrote an article on her experience memorizing the book of Romans over this past year. That was impressive. We read a lot of Romans today, and imagine if you had those scriptures memorized to go to understand God's work in salvation through Christ. And she listed a large number of benefits through her experience. She says, it's a weapon against anxiety. It changes my duty into delight. It gives me renewal of my mind. It gives me a keen sense of Christ's love and a soaring spirit. God has been faithful to her in his word. She's reaping the benefits of peace and joy in her life through God's word. So think back over 2022 on what you learned from God's word this year. Appreciate what he's taught us. Appreciate that he gave you more love for himself, more love for others through the scriptures. What scriptures anchored you this year through hard times? Did you have a light bulb moment when you heard a certain passage being preached or you read a passage? Did you learn about prayer through the Psalms? Did you use practical wisdom of Proverbs or the Sermon on the Mount in a real scenario? You have to cherish God's faithfulness to you and his word over the past year. Let that inspire you to continue to live in the power of his truth. And finally, God showing up in your life and God showing up in his word, it comes to its full climax in the person and work of Jesus Christ. So Passover continued to be celebrated for centuries, generation after generation, by the people of Israel. And after so many generations, the mysterious point of all of Passover was revealed. And this is at Jesus' Last Supper with his disciples. I'm going to read the account of the Last Supper from the book of Luke, chapter 22. This is starting in verse 14. And when the hour came, he reclined at a table and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, take this and divide this among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on, I will not drink the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise, the cup after they had eaten, saying, this cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. So what is Jesus saying here? In this Passover celebration with his disciples, he institutes the Last Supper, and he's saying the Passover has always been about me. I've been there the whole time. This is pointing to me. The whole time. In seminary, I learned the concept of a theophany, which is our understanding of when Jesus, the pre-incarnate Jesus, shows up in the Old Testament. And one of the most recognizable, I guess, is the fourth guy in the fire with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You can think of it that way. But also, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 teaches us about how Christ was the rock in the desert with the Israelites. So this is after they get through the Red Sea, and now they're traveling in the desert for 40 years, and Christ is with them. And then maybe we think that Christ is the burning bush, right? The fire in the burning bush. That Jesus was there the whole time. And we see in so many scriptures, New Testament scriptures, especially Revelation, talking about Jesus Christ being the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. And that's what Jesus is saying here at Passover when he institutes the Lord's Supper, is saying, I am the ultimate Passover lamb. The lamb that your forefathers killed and put the blood on the doorpost, it saved one household for one night. But my blood shed for you saves all of my people for eternity. That's what Jesus is saying here as he institutes the Lord's Supper. I want you guys to walk away with this for your own lives, to think where Jesus showed up. And so I'm going to close with something I never thought I would ever say out loud, but it's a Dolly Parton song. And I hear this on the Christian radio. It's the only Dolly Parton song I know. But it gets me every time I hear it, because it rings true in my life, and I know that it will ring true to you, so I'm going to read some of the lyrics now. In the waiting, in the searching, in the healing and the hurting, like a blessing buried in the broken pieces, every minute, every moment, where I've been and where I'm going, even when I didn't know it or couldn't see it, there was Jesus. On the mountain, in the valleys, there was Jesus. In the shadows of the alleys, there was Jesus. In the fire, in the flood, there was Jesus. Always is and always was. No, I never walk alone. You are always there. Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. He gives himself the same name that he spoke to Moses in the burning bush. Paul writes how all things were created by him and for him. Jesus is the embodiment of God's faithfulness to us. He's been present in every moment of your life, whether you know it or not. Jesus has been there, and he always will be there, calling you to himself, reminding you that you're his child. So look back on 2022, find those moments where God showed up, where you were in the scriptures and you learned from the scriptures, and when you connected with the person of Jesus. Treasure those moments and let those spur you on through 2023. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. I ask, Jesus, that you minister to our hearts. Inspire us by your faithfulness. Inspire us in your word. Inspire us, Lord Jesus, through your personal work in our hearts. Thank you for the salvation that we have in you. And I ask that our memories of where you've shown up in our lives can spur us on into 2023. Pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.